Part of what the Lord's doing here at the church on Wednesday night. And as we look in Mark chapter 1, we read over this, preaching through this chapter a couple weeks ago, and in verse 29, we got Peter bringing Jesus to his home. And it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 29, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them." As we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, I want to preach to you on how we know Peter was not the Pope, or the first Pope, as it were. There's nothing like a little Bible to clear up a whole lot of stupidity. And I say that charitably. I do not hate Catholics. Some of the best jokes I have are about Catholics, and I don't want to ruin that thing. I'm going to roll. But I do know this. I was shocked when I found it out. All 54 translators that sat on the King James Bible Committee in 1604 to 1611 all believed whoever the sitting pope was at the time of the rapture would become the Antichrist. I believe they're right. Jesus looked at Judas at that Last Supper, and it says, after the devil possessed him, he turned to him and said, "What thou doest it quickly." And while Judas and the Antichrist are going to share some things in common, as soon as the devil possesses that pope right after the rapture, that's your guy. And whoever it may be, I don't care. I won't be here to worry about it. They can have all my bills and everything I got, because I'm checking out the moment the rapture happens. And if you go in mid-tribulation, guess what? I told somebody this that they blew their mind. I said, there is a mid-tribulation rapture, but only two people go. Let me say that again. There is something similar to a rapture happens halfway through the thing, but it's just going to be Moses and Elijah getting their heads put back on and going up. And they're not going up fast. God's going to put on a show with them, bringing them up real slowly, alive, after they've been killed and left in the street in 3 days. Every cult, ism, and everything comes off of taking Scripture out of context. Now, if somebody were to ask, you mean the first pope was married? If you'd ask them that, I'd say, well, yeah, well, if the Bible does say that, I suppose he was. Well, then tell me this. For 1,500 years, not 2,000, but for 1,500 years, why has none of the rest of them been married? Then they stopped the priests from marrying at 1,100 A.D., 600 years after that church got started. It didn't start time of Christ. It started in 500 A.D. thereabouts. And as we look at this tonight, these guys that keep running around saying, call me Holy Father, and all these other titles they give themselves are not the successors of Simon Peter. The number one way to spot a cult is through one thing. They claim apostolic succession and apostolic authority. There's the crowd. Now watch this. Here are the reasons tonight I want to deal with you on why Peter was not the first pope. If you'll turn and look there again, Mark chapter 1, verse 29, it says in verse 30, "But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever." That means the number one reason why Peter was never the pope, Peter was married. If he was not married and had a mother-in-law, he was the most miserable of all men on the face of God's green earth. I couldn't understand how he'd keep hanging around that, but the fact of the matter is he was married. And listen, it's very plain in that Bible right there. It is his wife's mother, not a dead wife's mother, his wife's mother. And because Peter was married, that exempts him from being a pope by any stretch of the imagination. If you look over in John chapter 17, in John chapter 17, we'll see another reason. Peter was married, number one. And number two, can I say this, that Peter never usurped God the Father's title. He never usurped God the Father's title. The Bible says in John 17, verse 11, he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father," with capital letters. He's not talking to a pope right there. He's talking to God the Father, and that's his title. If you've ever wondered, he says, "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are." Peter never usurped God the Father's title, because he was there in Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, when Jesus said, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." God means that stuff. And how dare a man on the face of God's green earth again, and I say God's green earth, is able to take not only steal the title of Holy Father or Father at all and put it upon himself when that's talking about God himself. Peter would have never done that. And by the way, I mentioned this the other day about the word reverend. Psalm, I think it's 109 over there, Psalm 101, says that reverend is God's name. If you so bold that you're going to say that that's your name, reverend, I don't think a Bible-believing Christian, once they see that, can do that again. I mean, that, like I said the other night, that's like Jehovah. You know that ain't your name. That's God's name. And when we look at the title of reverend, that's God's name. You'll never believe that throughout church history who first started calling themselves reverend. And when the last dude left from up here uptown, he moved out. The new guy come in. He's a Spanish guy, and he wanted to relate closer to the people. Instead of putting priest or father out there, he put reverend out there on the title. But that's what they've already called themselves. That's why they call each other father. Isn't that something? And you thought they were just a bunch of goofballs that wore black dresses and went to church with a collar turned around backwards. Peter never usurped God the Father's title. And number three tonight, if you look over to Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, number three reason why Peter wouldn't do that, it's real simple on this one. Peter wouldn't let anyone bow down to him or kiss his ring. If you're going to approach that Pope over there, when you come into the place there, you got to bow down, take his hand, and kiss his ring. You ever watch any really gangster movies? And I don't mean these guys that hold their guns like this. I mean they hold their machine gun like this, real gangsters. All of them have one thing in common. They do the same thing. You know why? They're all Catholic. They're Italians. Right? I know you don't have TVs, but just in case you do have one or been to somebody's house and seen that before. But listen to this. Acts chapter 10, verse 25 says this, 25 and 26, "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met them and fell down at his feet and worshiped him." Sound familiar? "But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself also am a man.'" I've seen pictures in some of the books put together on cults and different things, and the one question that stands out is this. That's going to make half of you mad and half of you is going to get glad at the same time. You're going to have mixed emotions when I say this. But when I saw Billy Graham bow down to Pope John Paul II and kiss his ring, I thought, why are you doing that? You said you believe the Bible. And the Bible said when that guy tried to help Peter, he told him, "Get up, I'm also a man." You'll find out in the book of Revelation that the tour guide over there tells John, he tries to do the same thing, "Get up, I'm of thy brethren the prophets," which makes him Daniel, by the way. And looking at somebody doing that, what they're doing is they're bowing themselves down to a man and calling him father when he's dressed like mother, and they ain't got no business doing that kind of thing. Now listen to this. If I was to preach this up north, they don't shout. But if you preach about how God brought them out of this bondage, they'd shout the house down because they know where they've been. Yeah. Southerners, we don't know nothing about this hardly, what we've seen on the movies. First time we ever heard that was on The Exorcist back in 1973. That's the first time the South ever heard about that stuff right there. All the rest of them's transplants that come down here. In fact, I'll tell you something about this stuff is really funny. Dear Preston and Whitney's here tonight, and I can call names because this is really good. I went to eat with Roy one day in Union, and we walked in this Mexican restaurant, and these two men were all huddled up on each other, you know. And he said, "Golly," he said, "look at that." I said, "What?" He said, "Them two men." I said, "Do I have to?" He said, "You know who that is over there?" I said, "Who is that?" He said, "I don't know who that one guy is, but that's a Catholic priest here in Union." I said, "Well, it's funny because the guy beside him is a Catholic priest in Gaffney. He was here about 20 years ago. I forget his name. He looked like Father Tuck, you know, the hair around here sticking out and all that." Ain't that a thing there? Now watch this. Peter would not let anybody bow down to him and kiss his ring, but number four tonight, look over in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Nothing like a little Bible to clear up a whole lot of confusion, right? 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, number four tonight, reason why Peter wouldn't be the Pope, is Peter would never, ever even think of speaking to define doctrine where there's confusion. If you'll notice, verse 20 says in 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Let me tell you what this is. When somebody speaks ex cathedra, that means they're speaking on behalf of God. There is just like God speaking. Peter would have never done that because he wrote that verse under the inspiration of God and said the Scripture is not meaning no private interpretation. When you come here to this church and you ask me, well, who's got the final say in this church? I always tell them this. The Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And then when they go to, listen, when they say this, I say, well, now, what about people here? Well, they're the same way. Yep. Well, I mean like bylaws. I tell them this, the bylaws is given so that the government, when they ask us for what we believe, I can hand them that piece of paper, and they know I'm not here to feed you Kool-Aid that's got poison in it. It's basically a purpose and a statement showing what we are and what we believe as to define ourselves under the Constitution of the United States of America under separation of church and state. Now, ain't that something? But I have been in churches, and you've been in well, and the bylaws is the final authority, but not here. The Bible is. Amen. Not men's interpretation of the Bible. People say, now that's your interpretation of that Scripture. No, it's not my interpretation. This Bible means what it says and says what it means. And the problems we run into is not where the Bible's not clear. It's where people are not clear. Right. Just listen to this very carefully. When people come up with all these stories about, well, the church I used to go to, the Bible authority, and we went by that, not by what some preacher said. The Bible said, well, go back there if you like it so good. Listen, if you tell me it's so good somewhere else, well, listen, you need to go back where the grass is greener and the cows didn't make AOC mad. I think that people miss this thing, but if there's a doctrinal issue, they don't go to the Bible to settle it. They go to the Pope to speak on that thing. Now, here's the funny part. That guy that's over there playing Pope now, a lot of people don't like him in that Catholic church, and I'm going to tell you why. He's a cut-up and a goofball on top of everything else. He's the only Pope I've ever seen sit down with the Ayatollah of Iran and try to tell a joke in Italian, and the guy don't speak it and laugh at his own joke. You surely can appreciate that. It's funny. And then he walks in the room with all them cardinals in there and all them stuffed shirt religious types, and they about to have holy communion, you know. He walks up there and grabs that sheet and goes, and jerks that money and goes, and they all go. So out of all of them, I like him the best, just to be honest. At least he's got a sense of humor. But wait, there's more. Watch this. If this Scripture is of no private interpretation, and any Scripture is, then we ain't got to go ask him anything. We just got to see what the Bible says. Yep. And listen, there's one way to find out what it says. That's to read it and see what it says. We were talking the other day, me and somebody was talking about this, about how that when Obamacare came out, they come out with a thing this thick and said, we got to pass it before we can read it and see what it says. If you do that, you are the dumbest congressman on this side of the grave. I'm just going to be straight with you and be honest and unobliging, but you have to be the dumbest person alive to vote in a bill of $11-something billion and not read it. Yeah. And if you can't read all that for us doing it, we need to cut the size down. Yeah. But if they're going to come out and say, well, we got to do that, no, we got to read it and see what it says. Listen, there's no need to having somebody travel around with you all the time to tell you how to interpret the Bible and what it really means when you can find out yourself, because the Holy Ghost is the one that's inside you that teaches you this book, and he'll show you exactly what it says, and it says what it means and means what it says. If there's figurative language, guess what? He'll show you that too. But watch this. Peter would never think about doing something like that, speaking ex cathedra. And another reason why Peter's not the Pope, if you look up 1 Peter chapter 2 in the same book here, Peter taught every Christian was a priest. Peter taught every Christian was a priest. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Your Bible says this. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And if the wording sounds familiar, Romans chapter 12 talks about being good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Who does that? The spiritual priest does, not the physical one. The physical one's passed on. We don't need the Jewish priest anymore. And then that at verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. So Peter, listen to this, taught every born-again Christian was a priest. The most amazing thing I think to say about that statement is this. You don't need to go see one because you is one. Amen. So don't be calling me Holy Father and don't be calling anybody else that. You got your own priest right there sitting where you sitting, you. So what about the confessional? You know why half them guys getting the sexual sins and the messes they do and have to see a psychiatrist? They got to listen to all that stuff. Everybody tells us bad, and they got to carry that burden. God's not carrying it, and eventually weigh you down and get you. Every preacher I know that says he's a counselor on the side, he gets in a mess because he hears all them sins all the time, and he can't forgive them like God can, and once he begins to carry them, they mess him up. I've told people this for 26 years, and I'm not about to change anytime soon. If you show up at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you come to Sunday school, you participate in church activities and do things, you will never need a psychiatrist. Right. I will, but you won't. Okay? And I don't plan on starting one no time soon, especially this bunch will tell you, yes, come on, and they don't have a finish date when they're going to get you where you need to be. Yep. So when's their finish? When you run out of money, your insurance cuts you off. I understand that language perfectly, don't you? But we're not talking about them tonight. We'll get them another time. We're talking about why Peter was not the Pope. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 2 in the same chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. We see that Peter said Jesus, not himself, was the rock on which the church was built. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And it says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. I see that Peter said that Jesus was the rock. Do you know this bunch tries to misinterpret Matthew chapter 16 and say that, well, Peter was the rock he was talking about that he's going to build his church on? No, the name Peter defined is a little stone. He's talking about himself being the rock when he's talking to Peter. And Peter verifies that because you don't interpret scripture with some dude that's half drunk on wine wearing a dress. You come to the Bible and let the Bible interpret itself, and there's your interpretation of Matthew 16 right there. Peter, listen, he didn't ever claim to be that rock. He never said that. But notice this. Number 7, Peter held that the scriptures were the final authority and not any infallible teaching church. Notice this. Look up 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Here's what your Bible says. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, get that part, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'll make this statement without any apology. It's the one sitting right up here. And it says, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Pretty plain that Peter believed in the Bible. Look back at verse 19. It says this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What book teaches that the best? This one. It leaves all the occurrences of blood in. It leaves all the occurrences of God in. Listen, when people try to tell me they're trying to update this, they're wasting their time. You don't update perfection and you don't correct perfection. And this bunch will stand up and say, now it troubles me that the King James Version. Shut up. Your problem right now, friend, is this, is that you are a rebel and you rebelled against your parents, you rebelled against your authority at school, you rebelled against other people, and you're rebelling against God. And every one of these dudes that claims they're recovering from something, I'm going to tell you something. Every one of them seems to be a rebellious preacher's kid. I ain't even playing about this stuff anymore. Say amen, preacher's kid, so I know you ain't with that crowd. Say it again, preacher's kid, back there in the back. You make your kids say it. Y'all say it too. Did I leave anybody yet? Oh, I forgot them two back there. I'm headed to him, don't worry. I'm not you and your brother there. Say amen. Thank you, brother. She got laryngitis. I'm so sorry, I forgot you were sick. Just raise your hand then. There we go. Ain't that right, preacher's kid? Now it's your turn. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? Preacher's kids get such a bad rap, but a lot of them is because somebody else brought it on themselves. You say, you don't know how it is to go out to these places and be treated like that. Are you kidding me? When my missionaries first started going out and come back telling how great y'all had it on the road, I kid, that wasn't great. I acted like I didn't know what this was talking about. I thought, Bible, bless your heart, so sorry for you, you know. I've been out there too, I know how it is. Miss Shelby, you know how it is walking the place, I have to run the roaches out so you can sleep at night. They put their friends up in the Hilton and put you up in roach motels. I've been there before too. Now listen to me. I don't care what they did to you. You're not following them anyway. You're following Jesus Christ. Stay on the firing line. Listen to this. The popes, down through the ages, used this as one of the reasons for the supremacy of Peter above all the other apostles. They said, but Jesus called him the rock. Do you know he is one of the first apostles? In fact, I believe the only apostle to ever be called Satan. Look over at Matthew chapter 16. I give you seven reasons why he's not the pope. Here, let me give you this right quick. Matthew chapter 16. This is great stuff here. You thought I was going to hear him blister you, and I'm tearing that crowd up. Gave you the night off, didn't I? In Matthew chapter 16, you got verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, here it is. This is the verse they hang on. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah, and it gets good after this. Look down at verse 23. Peter's done, or verse 21. Said, from that time forth, Jesus began to show forth unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Did you read that again? Did you see that? Peter grabbed the Lord of glory. Listen, the Ancient of Days, God manifest in the flesh, and began to rebuke him. He sounds like Westcott and Horde, one of them evolution guys, Darwin or one of them, don't he? Saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Here it is, but he turned and said unto him, Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now let's look at that on the practical side. Did he call him Satan or not? To my knowledge, that's the only one of the disciples, including Judas, that he ever called Satan. There's your first pope. I don't guess he's a pope now. In Acts chapter 15, the Bible said that he was not in charge of the assembly of the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. He wasn't even the head of that crowd. You ever heard preachers say he was the head apostle? You know what they're doing? They're trying to make reference to so they can have a chairman of deacons and make him feel good. Do you know what the Bible does not teach out of all the deacons to have a chairman? When I tell people we don't have a chairman of deacons, they look at me like I'm green. Well, what do y'all do? How do y'all handle business? We handle it. We all handle it. Watch this. He's done mad. I said something about the Pope, and he's getting up and running out. My goodness, already done. Okay, that's what I figured. Listen to this. Acts chapter 15, it says, after they held their peace, James answered, saying. So James is more the head of the apostles than Peter was. He is the chief one of them all. How about that? And we're talking about, listen, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, Peter himself said that he was only an elder among other elders. How about that? And then we got this one. Paul, not Peter, was given as the apostle that you're to follow. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 11? The Bible says, Paul says, be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. He wrote the church epistles, you know, where you and I live. But lastly, let me say this, where Peter contradicted Paul, Peter was rebuked for it in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, where it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him in the face because he was to be blamed. I thought he grew up by that time. Now listen to me. Peter was never a pope. There was never a pope until 500 years or so after Jesus died. But where did they come from? It's an interesting question. How did they just all of a sudden show up in history and be that? Here's how it happened. There was a people called the Greeks. They conquered the world at one time. Remember them? Zeus, all them Greek gods. Well, then the Borg came along. Gene Roddenberry designed the Borg after the Roman Empire. They assimilated everybody they come in contact with. They took over. When they conquered the Greeks, they made Zeus Jupiter, same god. Isis, Horus, and those people, the IHS guys, that became who? Oh, the little letters in the Catholic offering plate. And they, when they overtook Christianity by burning you to death, putting you on stakes on the way to the Roman Colosseum, they were the most powerful world force at that time. But when they lost their power and they were losing their army, instead of conquering people with their military, they just changed costumes and became the Roman Catholic Church and started conquering people with religion and superstition. And once that happened, they had to have somebody in charge of that outfit. And instead of saying, hail Caesar, now we hail to the That's been a wicked outfit for a long time. Let's go to the 20th century. The most wickedest man in the 20th century, without a doubt, out of all the murders, all the serial killers we had, and everything we had, was Adolf Hitler. Boxed up them Jews in his own country and sent them to concentration camps and killed them. Some of them he kept alive so Dr. Mengele and that bunch could run experiments on human beings that they couldn't do on animals. And after doing all of that, he decided, you know what? I want to conquer the world. Did they try? Sure they did. Poland. They started fighting France, England. And right quickly they noticed something. He was living beyond his means financially and had a whole lot of money pouring in. I wonder where he got his money from. Do you know people are so stupid they think because he's a German he was Lutheran? You know what Hitler was? A Roman Catholic. And when the war was over, they asked the Pope, why did you finance him? Oh, I was afraid. I was afraid. No, you wasn't. You was behind what he was doing. Because he's another one don't like Jews. Never has. Are you listening to me now? Have I got your attention real good? Because listen to this. When all of that began to happen, and when it's over with, butter won't melt in their mouth about the thing. They'll talk their way out of it like they've done no wrong. Oh, we was afraid. We was afraid he was going to conquer us. No, you were running him. But you got caught and nobody made you pay for it. Let me tell you something. That crowd has put more to death than Hitler ever did in his concentration camps. When you read about somebody about these inquisitions where they killed all these Christians, it wasn't the Spanish Armada done it. The guy said he saw a vision in the sky, a red cross saying, "Go and conquer." That wasn't God. At best, he made that stuff up. They'd put you to death right now if it wasn't for two things, God and the police, and God using the police to make sure they don't come do it here in America. Now you know why they want to defund the police. And just to give you a little lesson from some of his childhood, just so you can understand, I like using illustrations like this. Boy, I love this. It's going to be from Disney, so it's going to make some people mad and laugh at the same time. Listen to this. You ever watch The Lion King? Remember where the hyenas tell Scar, "No king, no king, no, 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 no." And he said, "Fools, I'll be the king." Last year when they was doing all the riots, did it ever dawn on you if they want to defund the police that somebody else will be the police? Who's going to be that? They are. And I believe if we check their financials, I know who's backing them too. They've always been into communism and funding that garbage. Why? Because they want to take it over and be the king of it too. Peter was not the Pope. There's only one who speaks ex cathedra. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why in your New Testament, his words in red letter, he's speaking and he is God. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.